Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Another episode, new episode is posted every week on Monday at WGNplus.com. So please, we appreciate your business of stopping by and clicking on or whatever it is you do to get access to this mesmerizing weekly hourly podcast hosted by yours truly, Elton Jim Toronto. Episode 85. And also has a very important distinction because it is the first podcast of 2018. Holy smokes. Happy New Year. Did you have a good one? I actually spent it on the radio at WGN on the overnight for a couple of hours, helping people ring in the new year. Hope you had a good time. Whether you went out and partied your butt off or just chilled out at home. One way or the other, that 1 minute from 12:59 to 1 o'clock passed. However you celebrated that passing of a minute, I hope it was a good one and you get your new year started in a good way. And that's what I wanted to talk about a little today because, you know, you're going to, and already have, I'm sure, seen all these stories, whether it's on television or in the newspaper, magazines, the year that was, the year in review. And hey, look, they're all interesting, and it is funny to go back. It's amazing how sometimes 365 days seems to go by so quickly, and yet it seems to go right past our memories as to what happened earlier in the year. And 2017 certainly had its share of interesting things, starting with, you know, the first month of the year and the beginning of the Trump presidency, which started off with a lot of interesting, shall we say, celebrations. And the introduction of new terms like fake news or alternate facts. And then, of course, the weather played a major role in 2017. Yes, we did have a lot of, you know, famous and beloved people that, you know, in all the different arts, in politics, pass away. Mary Tyler Moore, David Cassidy. I mean, you've read the list. And, of course, the year ended in a very interesting way that I don't think anybody would have or could have predicted at the beginning of 2017, a year ago right now, when the allegations of sexual harassment or sexual misconduct has brought down many a high profile person and many careers. And it'll be interesting to see as we move on if any of these people who have been accused of sexual harassment or sexual misconduct, if their careers literally are over, if they are over, or can they come back? And will some come back and some not? It will be very interesting to see, and that will play out probably in 2018 and beyond, and I'm sure we are not at the end of seeing that. And obviously, Time Magazine thought it was such a big story that they made that their person of the year, the Me Too movement, and those women who came out and spoke out against sexual harassment and sexual misconduct. So 2017 was an interesting year, certainly. A lot of turmoil. We are still in a state of flux. You know, on the international scene, North Korea was flexing its muscles. We're still trying to figure out the truth of any Russian collusion. So there's a lot of open-ended questions. It was, as every year is, filled with lots of highs and lows. As I said, the weather, we had some hurricanes that did some devastation to not only the United States, but around the world. We had some torrential, and that might not even be the word, but once again, devastating is probably the best word to use. Wildfires in on the West Coast, at both beginning of the year and at the end, and I think still burning in California. So lots happened. And so, yes, it's time for reflection on a wide scale, but it's also time for reflection on a personal scale. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, because as we begin this new year, it is a time for reflection, but it could be also a time for introspection. The way I always look at it when a new year comes, I always look at it as if it's you have a blank page. And I've used this analogy many times. It's a blank page. We are given a new blank page every January 1st. And there are 365 lines on that page. It's a long piece of paper. It's not a legal pad. It's not a yellow legal pad. It's pretty long. It's got 365 lines on it. And it's our job to fill that page up. And in fact, I've been using this analogy for many years, and it's not some, you know, amazing thought that somebody else hasn't perhaps brought up as well, but I've always used it. And I thought it was really cool, though. I during the year, a few months ago, I went to see Bruce Springsteen on Broadway, and he was talking about his life, and he used the analogy of life and the book and the page. And as I said, I know it's not the most original idea, but I thought it was cool that we sort of had we both had excuse me, the same thought. But that's the way I look at it. And so it is a challenge, because if you've ever done any writing of any kind, whether it's on a screen or on a piece of paper, there is nothing as daunting and challenging and scary and tempting and spine-chilling as an empty page in front of you that you have been assigned by yourself or by others to fill. And so that is the challenge that we face every year, and hopefully it's a challenge that that you look forward to. Every year, new year, should start with a good dose of optimism, personally as well as universally, and hopefully you have that. But what I wanted to do is, rather than, you know, once again, you've read all those stories and seen all those shows about the year in review, you can find that somewhere else. That's easy to find. But what I wanted to do is maybe today during the show, here's a maybe pose a few questions for us to think about and to allow us to use as we begin filling in those pages. Filling in those lines, making that page filled up for 2018. And the best way to do that, as I say this, I'm thinking about this. So if you listen to the podcast, or if you listen to me with any kind of regularity over the years, you know that I acknowledge the technology revolution, and I'm certainly involved in it. But there are some things that I still like to do old school. One of the old school things that I like to do is I have one of those good old day planners, you know, what that has every month, and they have the nice big squares, and you can write things in and what your appointments are and what you're doing on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and every month there, you know, it's little tabs on the side. And I've been using those for years, and I keep those after every year. I've got quite a few of them just piled up. It's hard for me to throw them away because it's almost like throwing away a part of your life because you did live that. And what I like to do, and I bought my new one in November, as soon as they were printed, as soon as the 2018s were printed, I bought mine, had it ready. So when January 1st happened, I already, and then I filled it out based on, you know, dates and things that I knew, birthdays or appointments I already had scheduled for the new year. And of course, now I will fill those in as time goes on. But I mean, that thing's ready to go. That thing was ready to go on January 1st. But you also, what I also do is I go back and I look at the past 12 months based just on that. And it reminds you of, oh, that's right, I had lunch with that person, or I went to dinner there, or, oh my God, I forgot about that vacation, or that the couple of days there, or oh my God, oh, that's right, I went, you know, you forget about the daily mundane things that, when in retrospect, they aren't so mundane. Suddenly you go, oh, that's right, I did go to the dentist, you know, five times this year, you know, or three times, whatever it is. And oh, that's right, as I said, oh, that's right, I forgot about, I knew there was these two vacations, but I forgot about the weekend that we went over there, or this person came in, oh, that's right, or that concert, or whatever it was that you did. So I actually, to prepare for the next year, prepare for 2018, what I've done is I've looked through my date book. And if you, and I mean, it's physical and it's tangible, it's tactile, I can turn the pages, but I know many people in today's world have everything on their iPhones. But you can go back in your date book. I assume that there's, I forget, I have a flip phone, so that's where I'm at. But go back. I think it's fun. And as I said, what it helps is give you some perspective as to what you did. And especially, and this is what I wanted to do, is to pose a few questions here. So after you look at what you did in 2018, and you sum that up, as we look forward to the next year, 2018 now, the question is, how well did you fill up those 365 days? How well did you fill that blank page? Are you happy with that blank page? Are you ready? That blank page is filled up. 2017 is filled up. Are you proud enough to tear it out and turn it in? To have it graded? like a life homework assignment? I'm not trying to sound new agey here. I'm not trying to sound like some, you know, guru or anything, but in some ways, I mean, that's what it is. Are you prepared to have someone grade that? In fact, it would be interesting to see, you know, you give that to somebody and say, if you saw this, if I give this to you, look through the last 12 months, and what would you say? Was that an interesting year? Did I have an interesting year? I don't know. It's so subjective. We tend to remember the cool things we did, but you know, we also should look at those lows, and sometimes those lows are wind up being very important parts of our lives. But the key is, you look at that and you say, okay, that's what I did in 2017. Here's what I, you know, I'm not into resolutions because I think those things are kind of media creations and they're, you know, there's not much to those. There can be if you apply them. I don't think a lot of people do. I think they just become little, you know, whatevers to throw around. But if you're really serious about making goals for yourself and trying to accomplish things, big or small, out in the world or just internally, whatever they may be, you know, you do have to write them down. You do have to, or at least put them in your mind. And one way is to look at the last year and say, what did I do? When I look at 2017, I think the biggest thing that that jumps out at me of what happened, and I don't know if it was actually planned per se at the beginning of the year, but it certainly took hold soon at the beginning, you know, soon a few months in, and has carried through. And I talked about this on the podcast. I called 2017 the year of decluttering, And I just threw out a lot of physical stuff that I just did not need anymore. I got rid of like 50 bags of garbage and 30 bins that have been sitting in my basement for years. A lot of it was my stuff. A lot of it was from my late mom that I had that it was sitting there. And you have to look at it and make decisions. And some of it, you know, I was able to sell, or some things I was able to donate, and some you just throw out, you know. And it was very introspective, and it was kind of nostalgic, and you're looking at stuff, but you get in a point where you have to start to make those decisions. And so that really carried over into other things. Believe me, my wife and I, I love Christmas, and I love Santa, and we usually, you know, at the end of the year, we always go out and buy a bunch of different little new Christmas ornaments or different dolls, Santa dolls. And the decluttering that we did throughout the year did stick. At least it has so far, to have that new mindset of, okay, we got rid of stuff. We don't need to continue to, you know, we don't need to fill those voids anymore. The goal is to continue to declutter. And so I'm proud to say that we did not go crazy and buy things that we normally would have. Oh, isn't that a great Santa? Isn't that a great thing? Oh, yeah, okay. We didn't. It's like, you know what? Do we really? We looked at one another several times and go, yeah, it's kind of cool, but do we really need it? And we didn't get it. So I'm actually proud of the fact, because the decluttering, as I said earlier when I talked about it during the year, if you've ever done that, oh, it is such a cathartic feeling to just get rid of. It's almost like endorphins. It's like running a marathon. I was getting a high of throwing this stuff away. So if I have to look at 2017 overall, I would say for me it was a year of decluttering, and maybe even, you know, not only physically but, you know, maybe emotionally too, because there were a lot of emotions tied to a lot of those items that I had to get rid of. But I would say that 2017 for me was the year of decluttering, and I'm happy about that. And so my question to put out to you and to me as well, and I thought of this really because of the Christmas season and one of my favorite songs, which is the John Lennon song, Happy Christmas, War Is Over. Came out in the early 70s during the Vietnam War, and that's why the War Is Over chant is in at the end. And sadly, it is as applicable 40 years later, you know, as more than 40 years, as it is, as it was then. There's always a war somewhere, or the threat of one. But what always appeals to me about John Lennon's songwriting is he's able to really take big questions and big thoughts and whittle them down in such a unique way as to just get right to the heart of what they mean. And so, you know, we always have Holly Jolly Christmas and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and White Christmas and all those. But what I love about the John Lennon song, Happy Christmas, is just that line, and so this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and a new one just begun. It doesn't get much simpler than that, does it? I mean, that's what it is. And Christmas comes, and we are in reflection, and we say, what have we done? And another year is over, and a new one has just begun to do more things. And that one line there, and what have you done? You know, that's not a throwaway line. That, to me, when I listen to that song, that is not a question. That's a challenge. What have you done? You know, John Lennon thought in big universal terms, especially you know, in the early 70s during the Vietnam War, and he was huge into the peace movement. It was interesting, just in December, I was in Amsterdam, and I saw the Amsterdam Hilton, which is right on the harbor there in the downtown area, where he had his bed-ins for peace, the famous bed-ins. Or you've seen those pictures of John and Yoko sitting in the bed after they got married and inviting the press in, you know, to talk about peace. And it was at the Amsterdam Hilton. And they had some other ones around as well. But they talk about, in that song, The Ballad of John and Yoko, he says, you know, sitting in the Amsterdam Hilton. And so it was cool to see that. But you know, and so this is Christmas, and what have you done? That is not a question. That's not just, well, so what have you done? No, I especially knowing Lennon at that time, being very of an activist, it's what have you done? And if you listen to the rest of the song, it talks about the bigger picture of the world. You know, let's have no fear and war is over. That's what the song is about. But what have you done? And you can look at that from a personal standpoint, from a worldview. What have you done to make the world a better place? And also, what have you done to make you a better person? But I think it's a challenge. And I've always sort of viewed that as, that's why I like listening to that song at the end of the year, because it does get me kind of jacked up for the new year. And so I guess when I look back at my day planner, and now I look at my empty pages for 2018, I would ask myself, and I would ask you to think about it too. You know, what have you done? Did you have some specific goals for 2017? And did you achieve them? And are they goals that can continue to spill over? Or did you forget about them? Or did you not achieve them to the degree that you wanted to? Or did you not achieve them at all? And so now the goal is to analyze those and find out why not. And are they worth trying again? But you can't do that unless you really sit down and think about what have you done. And I guess the one question that I look at it when I'm thinking about that is sort of an offshoot of what Lennon was asking in that song, is more important to ourselves, because I'll tell you, when you look outside, we are in a real tumultuous era here. I mean, the media is certainly playing up the divisions that we have, and the Trump presidency has been mercurial from day one, and even before that, the opposition to Trump has, in my lifetime, and I think it's unprecedented, the strength and the venom and the against him is and then the hyperbole, and there's even been a smugness, and we've seen some people's careers, you know, you talk about careers being ruined in 2017, not just about sexual sexual harassment, but look at comedian Kathy Griffin, who had a picture of Trump's head, you know, cut off Trump's head, and you know, everybody thought, well, you know, it's okay to just pile on Trump and do whatever you want, because that's cool and that's fun and that's what we're all doing now. And then some people said, whoa, wait a minute, that's a little too far. And we have to remember, whether you like the guy or not, he's the president of the United States. And there is some respect that's due to the office. You may not have respect for the man, and that's fine. But you should have respect for the office. And that's what's bothered me a little bit about the way this discourse has gone. I'm not trying to get political here, and I've been trying to stay above it all. You know, I'm not in one camp or the other, really, honestly. I'm hovering over it and watching both sides, and I'm kind of disgusted and upset at both sides. And but as I said, you look out there and there's a lot going on worldwide, as well as in our country, and who knows, within each of our individual lives, there's always a little tumult and turmoil amidst hopefully, the good times. And it's how well you navigate those, which really depends on what kind of life you're going to have or you will have. And so my thing is, out there's enough turmoil. And there's only so much that we could do about it individually. And then we can do something about ourselves. That's the one thing that we can do. That's what we are empowered to do, is about ourselves. And so as I look to 2018, I ask myself, and I ask you to think about it too, if it might help, is a takeoff on the John Lennon line, and so this is Christmas, and what have you done? But I offer, what have you learned? Have you learned anything this year? And you know what? It's a question to think about, and it doesn't need a quick answer. I just thought I'd pose a few questions. Instead of going back and, you know, reviewing the year, maybe there's a few questions that we can ask of ourselves about 2017 that will help us in 2018. And so the first question that I would have is, what did I learn? And I don't know yet. I'm still figuring that out. But I think it's a question worth pondering, because, you know, we should always look for life lessons. And so if you look at the 365 days, did you learn anything in 2017? And if you did, how do you apply that to the coming year in a positive way? I don't know. I'm going to think about that. But I throw that out there to you. Did you learn anything in 2017? And back to John Lennon, what have you done? You know, there's something, as I said, I sort of, viewed it as my year of decluttering. Okay. Maybe frivolous, but in my life, it was very important. I got a lot of things in order in 2017. And it branched out of this decluttering. The funny thing was, it started with, I need to just clean out some of these bins. And I even mentioned, I think, on an earlier podcast, when I started cleaning out the bins and taking stuff out and throwing stuff out, for the first time since I lived in my house, which is almost 20 years, there was an echo in my basement. Because it wasn't filled with stuff, and it was a good feeling, and it was cathartic. But out of that, I said, "Okay, wait a minute. I'm having so much fun, and I'm like I said, I'm getting endorphins here. I'm getting on a high of organizing this basement and throwing this stuff out and getting things in order. That then I applied that to other aspects of what I could control, and that's the key." I have a lot of goals and ambitions. Some of them, I don't have the deciding, word on. I can do my best to work toward it, but there are other things that may be in the way. But individually, I know I can. There's a few things in my life that I can totally have control over, and so those things are what I focused on, in addition to the other ones, because I knew I could get those done. You know, the other things, you got to keep plugging away. But in order to make some progress, you know, take a look what's in front of you and what can you control. So, yeah, I went down in my basement and I said, there are way too many bins here that have been sitting here for 20 years that need to go. I haven't touched them in 20 years. And that day I'm going to save it for that rainy day. Well, the rainy day is here and it's pouring and it's time to go. But out of that, for instance, I got a lot of other things that were not, you know, all over the place, but I got things very orderly in terms of, you know, financial things at home. My wife and I made a will. It's like, oh, Jim, this sounds so depressing. No, it's organization, it's decluttering, and it's organizing And I did some medical things. I got the good old colonoscopy, which I've been putting off for a couple of years. So I got that done. I tended to some health things that I've been putting off. Looked into burial things, and so many things that were kind of floating and just sort of there. I identified many of those and put those in a place. And now everything is very streamlined. Everything is organized and streamlined in many parts of my life. And that, so I'm 2017, from my standpoint, getting all that done. I still had my parents' home. And I sold that. And so that was a huge albatross of responsibility and other things that was gone. So there was just a lot of decluttering. And it started so simply. I looked at these bins in my basement and I said, I need to get rid of these bins. And after I got into that, I took a look around other parts of my life that were cluttered or not as sharply defined or not as well organized, and tackled those. And so what I learned is that it takes one thing, one of the lessons, hopefully, this is not my major, but one thing I did learn was, that you can have power and you can get something done about things that are in your personal life, at the very least. That outside world, as we've seen, is very complex. Always has been, always will be, is really complex now. And it's an onslaught every day. But what you can change is stuff in your own little vicinity. There is a term there, think globally, act locally. And I would say, and a lot of times people think of that as like recycling and, environment and helping, the homeless, which is all great, things like that. But I would offer, when you think about globally, think about the outside world of how it is affecting you, but acting locally, can you get your life, can you get your life in order and get it in? Because if you do that, then you can get your bigger goals achieved. So yeah, for me, 2018 or 2017 was the year of decluttering. But did you learn anything? And I'm just talking about it right, just talking about it to you now. What I learned was that, yeah, you know what? I can maybe affect some change and get some order. I can't affect the outside world in many ways all the time, but there are things right in front of me that are waiting to be changed or fixed. And so, and if you listen to me once again, I love to make lists. And so I've been on a list tear for the last 12 months. I've been making a lot of lists of things to do and getting those things done. And so that is the one thing that that stands out. So now the lessons learned about, what did you learn maybe on a bigger scale? But what did you learn about yourself? Did you learn anything about yourself? Were there these moments during life where, there were some hard lessons to be learned? Did you lose somebody close to you? Whether it's a personal relationship or, a familial relationship of a friend or, a job situation or something like that. But there's enough going on in our daily lives where we can, if you sit down, you can find out and examine about some lessons. And the question is, did you learn from any of that stuff? And I think that is really an important factor when you look to fill those pages. As I said, empty page, 2018, just sitting there waiting for you. It's another challenge, just like John Lennon challenged. What have you done? Okay. The other challenge is, what are you going to do? As I said, look at 2018 as a homework assignment, and you've got to fill up 365 pages and turn that in on December 31st. And every line, every day should be filled in with something valuable or memorable. Experiences, accomplishments, memories, whatever you want to call them. That's what you do on those pages. And that's what makes, I think, it keeps you present and grounded that, you know what, you have to go out and make an effort. So often we sit around waiting for stuff to happen. And I got news for you, it doesn't. And I'm not the first to say that either, and I'm sure you you know that as well. You've got to go out and make the effort and go out there. And so I think that empty page thing is a good way to look at a new year, because it is a challenge and it is daunting, and it does make you say, hey, it's up to you to fill those pages. Don't complain. Oh, 2017 was a bad year, some people may say. Well, I don't know. Was it? Did you make it a bad year? What did you do to make it a good year for yourself and for the people around you? So that's the challenge. But I think a good way to move forward is that one question is, you know, did you learn anything? And if you did learn it, how do you apply it now moving forward? You know, every day, every year should be a lesson. And I'll tell you, just saying 2018, and yes, can I just get off my little, you know, I don't want to sound, as I said, like some new age guru here, but so the old Elton Jim is going to creep in here again. Can we please stop saying 2018 or 2017? We're done with that. I keep hearing that. Think, when we're in the 19s, before the year 2000 came, in your entire lifetime, did you ever say 1972, 1988? No, you said 1988, 1974, 1967. But we got stuck on this 2000 because it was when it happened. It was the year 2000. You know, it was all with the zeros at the end, and it wasn't like even, you know, the 1900s. It wasn't. You didn't say, but here's my question. You didn't say 1900, did you? So why is it 2000? Stop saying that. I'll give you 2000, the year 2000. I'll give you that. You don't say 20-aughts. I get it. But after 2000, it should have been 2001. And not even O, to be honest with you, because O is not a number, right? Why is this? Why do you care, Jim? I don't know. This is who I am. It's 20 and it's zero. You don't say. You know, I remember when I was growing up, the last four numbers of my phone number was 1065. But you know, when I grew up, we all said this 1065. No, it's not an O. It's a zero. Because, you know, there is an O on the telephone. It's a zero. It's not an O. Don't mix numbers with alphabets. So it's not 2001 A Space Odyssey, which that's what they called it. But it's really 2001, and it's not even that. It's 2001 and 2002. But now that may sound clunky. I'll even give you that. I'll even give you the 2001 and 2002 and 2005. I'll let you mix your O's and your zeros, your alphabets and your numericals. I'll give you that. From 2000, I'll give you the 2000 to say the year 2000. I'll give you 20 and I'll give you 2001 and 2002, which is what it was as well. But once we got into double digits, the 2000 goes away. It's 2010. It's 2011. It's 2012. It's 2013. It's 2014. It's 2015. It's 2016. It was 2017. And it is now 2018. Stop with the 2018. That's not the way you say it. It's 2018. You didn't say 1972, or you didn't say 1972 in the 70s or in the 19s when most of us were born. Although listening now, there were some people that were born in the 20s, in the 2000s. But it's 20. It's 2018. So that's my pet peeve. So what did I learn after all that introspection I talked about before? What did I learn? I learned that I am neurotic about really small little details, but they're important. And I know sometimes I sound like Larry David, and that's why I love Curb Your Enthusiasm so much. And I was like that before that show. Believe me, this is more than 50 years of this. You can't turn into that in 5 years. But, yeah, it's 2018, okay? But my point was, as I digress, and as if you listen to the podcast, you know that one of the charms of an Elton Jim podcast is my digressions. At least I like to think that. So I cannot believe, I was looking at my date book, and I'm looking at, I mean, really, I don't know about you, but I just got used to writing the 2017 on my checks and stuff, and that's gone. Those 365 days, I think we had a leap year this year, I'm pretty sure, every 4 years, so I'd assume we've got one in 2018. Those 365 days, same amount of time, 24 hours, they don't change, they're always the same. And yet, wow, do years go by fast. And I know when I was in eighth grade or seventh grade, oh my gosh, the time seemed to go by slow. And you really couldn't wait till you were 21. But my goodness, since 21 has come, I don't remember what happened. But the weird thing is, if you're old enough to have memories of when we went from 1999 to 2000, and that was a big deal. Not only was it the Y2K, 2K, even there, we didn't use 2000. 2K, 2K for the 1000. Y2K, if you were old enough to remember that, can you believe that we're almost 20 years into this century? Holy smokes. I remember about 5 years ago, I'm reading the newspaper and reading the sports page, and they're saying that somebody signed a player. I can't remember what it was or whatever it was, but it said they signed him to a contract until 2020. And so I was like, wow, that is a long-term contract. They're going to sign that guy for that many years? And then it hit me. That was only 5 years away. And I was like, holy cow, 2020 is not that far in the distance. And now we are knocking on 2020. Believe me, I know there's some people out there who are looking forward to 2020 because there will be another presidential election. I know all about that. But my God, we're 20 years into this set. It's been almost 20 years. We've just completed 17 years of that day when it was the year 2000. I remember that very clearly. Not like it was yesterday, but not like it was that long ago. If 17 years goes by that fast, holy smokes. I'm glad I'm decluttering. Wow. 2020. That's going to be a number. But it hit me like, wow. We're really just flying by here. And that's what on this podcast too, you know, if you've listened, I've had my godson Patrick on, and always have fun with him. He's a millennial, and so I always have fun about, talking about what he does and how the difference that we look at things and the things we do. And if I'm worried, if, you know, my millennial, I call him my millennial meter, to wonder if I'm still cool. I don't think slowly but surely, I don't think I am, but who cares? But yeah, you know, I'm looking at all that. And I remember telling him a few years ago, even before a lot of the turmoil that's been coming on, I remember mostly at that time when I said this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago with all the terrorism that was going on. And I said, you know, I'm just trying to give you a little advice here. You know, and this gets back to what I was talking about earlier in this podcast is you can control your life. It's not hard. It's not easy. It's not impossible to affect change out there. We know that. But it takes a lot of effort and takes some time. So if you're out there working to change the outside world, that's great. But don't forget about where you can also make a lot of inroads is right there in your own backyard. And so my advice to him was, it's going to be a weird world out there for a while now. I mean, thankfully, we haven't had too much, you know, of the international terrorism. Sadly, we've had some things that have been, I mean, the Las Vegas shootings and things like that. And we've had some terrorist attacks. They haven't been as large scale, but they're still out there. It's always a threat. And, you know, I was just traveling through Europe, and, you know, you still think about that, you know, wherever you go. Sadly, it's the new normal. But my advice to him was, you know, the outside world, once again, is tough enough, and we are in a very transformational time, and it is very akin to the 60s, but it's also very different because of the introduction of social media. And so everything is speeded up. Everything is just bigger. We have become a shiny object kind of society. Things are very disposable. But in terms of the transformational things, the things of thinking and behavior, we are in one of those big churning moments where you've got big generational shifts going on and perspectives. And there's a lot of them. That's the difference, too. And as I said, social media adds to that because now everybody's got a voice. And that can be good and it could be bad. And we've seen the ramifications of both of that, both ends of that, both the democracy of it as well as the harm that it can do individually and on a big scale. But so my advice was do what you can to make your life interesting and fun. Because there's going to be a lot of outside pressures there and a lot of things going out there that are not going to be conducive to a lot of fun. So do what you can. And it comes back to this is what I said at the beginning. Do what you can in your own life to have fun and to create memories. Don't wait. Life is a proactive thing. And I don't know whether he understood the advice I was giving. Maybe at the time it wasn't as profound, and maybe it wasn't profound at all. But all I know is I've led a very diverse and full life with a lot of different experiences and memories, and that's what I'm able to pass along, and I wanted to pass along to him. And interestingly, in the last couple of years since I said that to him, he has made a lot of changes in his life, and he's just had him and his wife just had a little baby boy, and they bought their first home, and so they're making. And I whether it was my advice or maybe it's just the natural course of life, but you make decisions. They could have waited 5 years to have a baby; they didn't have to do it now. But I don't know. But I guess my point is, once again, as we look to 2018 and with a year ahead of us and plotting it out. I mean, now is the time to make your lists and make your plans. And as I said, take the lessons that you learned from 2018 and hopefully apply them in a positive way to 2018. Or, you know what, maybe there were some lessons that you learned that weren't, and you say, okay, you know what, I can't do that anymore. Not every lesson has to be positive. And that's not being a Debbie Downer here, folks. There are some lessons that you can learn that are negative lessons, and you can make them positive. The goal is to be honest with yourself. Yeah, I always think I'm far from perfect, believe me, even though I joke around. But what I tried my hardest not to be is a hypocrite. And the only way that you cannot be a hypocrite is to be honest with yourself. And so as you look ahead to 2018, I would say try to be honest with yourself. Be honest when you look back at 2017 and what you did and what you learned, and apply that to 2018. And as I said, fill up those pages, because, you know, you never know how many more pages you have left. And so we should be grateful that we're given a new page. We are still here, and so we are able to turn another one. So look back at the last 30 that are in that book of yours, or the last 18 that are in that, or the last 60, or the last 65, or the last 55, whatever that number may be for you. Whatever that number is, you know, look back at those pages and be grateful that you've got a new page to fill in. So that's good. And look at that as a great opportunity and as a blessing that you've got another page. And take advantage of that page. Don't let that page be turned unless that thing is damn well filled to the brim with experiences and memories and life. Another year over and a new one just begun. And what have you done? That's up to you to decide. I know, looking forward to 2018, I am going to come here as much as I can and do whatever I can as long as they let me. I appreciate your loyalty and the time that you take to listen to these podcasts. I certainly enjoy doing them. And I enjoy the feedback I get from some people on Facebook. My Facebook page is Jim Turano, T-U-R-A-N-O, or Elton Jim. I post a link to these podcasts every day or every week and throughout the week. So if you visit my Facebook page, you will see. If you do click on a weekly basis or you on any kind of a regular basis, I really do appreciate it, I must say. I've been doing this now for almost 2 years, right? Has it been 2 years? No. Well, no, it's been, yeah. No, 2016. 2016 I started, right? 15? Yeah, okay. I have to go back in my books and find them. No, 2016. Yeah, and so this year will be 2 years, hopefully. But I just want to say thank you. I'm looking to fill up every hour that we have with some fun and interesting and hopefully thought-provoking material for you to take away from. And in the words of Bill Cosby, and if you're not too careful, you just might learn something. And as I said, the goal of this is always, at the end of the day, to have fun. And I hope that you enjoy this podcast to listen to as much as I enjoy doing them. So get out there in 2018. Fill your pages, and while you're filling your pages, make sure that within those, you always make a stop at WGNplus.com every Monday, where you hear another episode of Elton Jim Turano's Captain Podtastic. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. I hope you had a good time. I certainly did. This is Elton Jim Turano saying thanks for enjoying or listening to episode 85. And don't forget, this is the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.